My name is Xudong Sun. I'm a postdoc at Stanford University. Today I'll be talking about past spine loops and the nature of a late phase solar flare. And here's a list of my collaborators who make this project possible. The motivation of this study comes from a series of recent papers that study a series of phenomena that seem to have something in common. For example, the sympathetic eruptions on a global scale when the eruption of one filament on one part of the sun could trigger the eruption on the other part of the sun. And also, for example, this peculiar flare ribbon that assumes a circular shape and brightens sequentially. And the late phase UV radiance enhancement, where you observe this second peak in warm UV lines such as iron 16, 335, from tens of minutes to hours after the main peak. So the thing they have in common is this non-trivial magnetic topology behind them that links the evolution trends of multiple magnetic systems. So I'm particularly interested in this so-called fan spine topology, which often appears when you have this new bipole emerged into this old existing field. And in this case, this negative polarity becomes parasitic. And it has been shown that a coronal null point will naturally occur above this parasitic field. And then you will have this dome-shaped separatrix surface, the fan separatrix surface that divides the magnetic flux systems into two parts, one part below the fan dome, one part outside the fan dome. And also we have a spine field line that passes through this null point and links these two systems. And of course, because this is newly emerged field, it often is non-potential. If we look at the squashing degree Q on the lower boundary, for example, we immediately notice some features. For example, this ring-shaped high Q regions that correspond to the footprint of this fan dome. We have these point-like sources which correspond to the footprints of the spine field line. And for the new field, we often have this S-shaped or double J-shaped high Q regions. Because reconnection always happens in high Q regions, their footprints is where you would actually find the flare ribbons. So what's going to happen in the fan spine topology when the new field keeps shearing? Numerical simulation has shown that if you keep shearing, there will be current sheets developing in this 3D null points. And in this case, these blue field lines would come together and reconnect and becomes a green one. So if we look at the whole picture, this kind of reconnection is exactly the breakout type, which transfer the flux below the fan dome to the outside of the fan dome and effectively alleviates the constraint on this new field and makes it easier for it to erupt. Because of this reconnection, heat flux and energetic particles would precipitate down the fan and spine field lines and causing this circular flare ribbons. And also, on the other side, it would travel along this spine field line and cause a remote brightening. In this dome-shaped fan separatrix, field lines could also undergo slipping type reconnection. And that has been shown in the paper by Mason et al. That the circular ribbon would actually brighten sequentially. What's missing observationally is that the loops that actually links these two systems, for example, from the circular ribbon to the remote brightening, are these green loops. Because it's newly reconnected, we expect it to be extremely hot. And because it's newly reconnected, it should closely trace out the spine field line and part of the fan. And that's why we call it hot spine loops. We observed this in this unique example from SDO that takes place on November 15th, which causes the M2 class flare. Here's just a reminder of the magnetic structure. You have this new field and this old active region. On the left is an AI three-color composite movie where you have these cool loops as red, green ones are the warm ones, and also 131, which has both a hot and a cool component. And the cool ones just blend into this red one, makes it pinkish. This is the 1600 where you see the ribbons, and this is 131 running difference. So let me just play this movie. Okay, I'll stop here. So what's going on is that in the polarity inversion line, you see these sigmoidal loops. That is pretty common in standard eruptions. However, you see this blue loops just coming newly developed. And if you look at the running difference, you see this front of this blue loops connected from the front of this sigmoidal loops, and the other end maps to the far, far away. And also you can see this end actually maps to this remote brightening. If you keep going, you see the circular ribbon just moves in brighten sequentially, and also you can see this sort of a shuffling motions of the new loops, which is evidence for slipping type reconnection. So we looked into the magnetic topology of this region by using the HMI vector magnetograms and nonlinear phosphoric extrapolation. So here's just a zoom in of the center region where you can see this field is extremely sheared. Also, if you plot the lower lying loops, you can see it assumes a circular shape around the polarity inversion line. And also, it corresponds pretty well with the 304 active region filaments. We do reproduce this spine fan topology linking from this main flare region to the too far away. And also, you can see the footprints of this spine field line actually corresponds to this location pretty well. The spine and fan is actually non-potential. If you look at the cross-section of the current, you can see there's lots of currents below the fan dome and also along the spine. And that's why you see some of the twists along the spine field line. The hot spine loops are pretty extremely hot. They're actually above 10 million Kelvin. So we performed a new regularized DEM inversion of this one pixel, where you can see this new peak comes out comes after the flare, and it's above 10 megakelvin. So this emission from 131 angstroms comes from the hot component. And also the slipping motion and the growing volume of these blue loops shows that the flux is being transferred both within and outside of the fan dome. Up to this point, this process is confined. And what is interesting is that if you look at the gold soft X-ray, all these things happen in the first 15 minutes of the event where the X-ray is pretty low. And that is pretty in line with the recent breakout eruption simulation by Carpenter et al., where it states that the breakout reconnection could operate for 10 to 20 minutes, several tens of minutes, before the eruption takes over. And actually, that is what we observe. And after 10 to 20 minutes of breakout reconnection, we have this eruption of the loops toward the left. And from UV, you can see this loop coming out from this fan dome. And also, it's interesting to observe this hard X-ray source right on in the center of this flare ribbon, where you don't see any 1600 emission. So this source is probably of coronal origin. I'll skip this field changes and come to the EUV late phase. This event also has a very interesting EUV late phase. So what I plot here is the EUV irradiance observation. For this brown line is the 335, where you usually observe the second peak. And of course, we see it here, which is delayed by from the main peak by about 40 minutes. Interestingly, we see a second peak in 94 as well, which is rarely reported. And in hotter lines like 133 and GOES, we don't see this second peak. So if we plot different lines, iron lines, in this dynamic spectral form following Wood's paper, from top to bottom is the different iron lines from hot to cool, and the color indicates the relative irradiance variability, and red means increasing and blue means dimming. So we see this impulsive peak and actually a sequential delay of the secondary peak in increasingly cooler lines. And that is sort of that is what you call the iron cascade, and that is exactly consistent with a cooling sequence. So from a magnetic topology point of view, once this loop erupts, it would cause multiple sets of post-flare arcades. It has to open the overlying field where you have this huge post-flare arcades, and also we have this small flare arcades, which is the standard flare arcades. Because these loops are of very different lengths, they have very different cooling time scale, and that is why the UV like irradiance increase much later for these longer loops. And indeed, for this 131 image, we see these all these three types of post-flare arcades, for example, A1, A2, and A3. So coming back to the source of the late phase, this is a tricolor image from 131, 94, and 335, where blue is hot, green is cool, and red is cooler. And then you see a sequential shift in the color, which shows you these loops are actually cooling. And if you look, count the flux within this box of the large late phase arcades, we can see these peaks actually delayed by the soft X-ray by like 22 minutes, even in 131. And it's a sequential delay. And we do not observe this 131 irradiance peak in the irradiance 131 peak in irradiance observation because it happens so early in the decay phase, and it's relatively weak, so it gets blend in the main peak. Last but not least, we want to ask the question: can cooling itself explain this late phase? So what we did is we perform a series of DEM inversion of this pixel, for example. And what we found is this hot components showing up above 10 megakelvin. And then as time goes on, this peak is pretty stable, but it moves gradually towards the left. So if we assume these, this peak comes from the hot components, we can make a time series of this centroid as a proxy of the loop temperature. For example, it starts from 13 megakelvin and gradually it cools down to about 7 megakelvin. And also we can use the area as the estimation of the emission measure. So we compare the, using these initial values and compare the conductive cooling timescale and the radiative cooling timescale. And what we found is that conduction should dominate this whole process. Then naively, we just plot these cooling times curves from assuming it's a static conduction cooling with the formula given by Spiro. And then we plotted it just on top of this temperature light curve. And what we see is that it actually fits the observation pretty well. So in one sense, we could say that static cooling itself or conduction itself could explain the cooling time evolution of these loops. So here's my summary slide. So we see several things here. First, we have the new observation of the spine loops, which fits in this picture pretty well. And also, we use this observation to show that EUV late phase as a cooling sequence actually comes from these post flare arcades. And also, this provides a template for magnetic coupling between a relatively small magnetic system to the large system. And that's it. Thanks.
Can you see the location of the spine after the whole event is over?
It's very difficult. These loops, because these are already reconnected, so they are no longer the spines, but these loops remain for a long time. It just keeps cooling into actually 171 hours. So you do not really see those, the spine itself.
It's too bad, because it'd be nice if you could, and just by seeing the change in position of the spine before and after the event,
right,
you can get some indication of how much energy was stored beforehand and
really
was a loss of magnetic energy stored in the corona. This would be kind of a good indirect way of demonstrating that this event is due to the release of energy stored in the filament channel.
Right. What we see is actually, I did the QSL computation before and after the flare. Actually, the QSL moves, so some part of the dome actually opens up. Part of the dome actually closed down, so I can show, the topology actually changes. It becomes less sheared as well. These sheared loops all become shorter.
Okay, Wei?
Hi, Xudong. Very nice talk. I have a question about your cooling phase. Study from RESI we did somewhere ago indicated the cooling is not enough to explain the and slow than usual decay,
right,
because you need some sustained heating.
Right.
So one test you can do is to look at if the loop is still uniformly bright or very confined at the top.
Right. Actually, I didn't mention the cooling time curve below the one I showed, the second one, actually is of the shorter loops. I did the temperature analysis using RESI spectra and find that the cooling cannot explain that one. So in the main loops, probably there are additional heating. But I mean, because these loops are, the loops I'm studying, the late phase arc is extremely long. For this case alone, probably it's not that important. So that was my thought.